judgment of the moon and stars themselves.
You must listen.
The legendary Humble and Fred Show.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, the official band of Humble and Fred, Play for the Cat, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, and our newest sponsor, Green Genie SEO. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now, from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
Yes, sir. On a sunny morning in southern Ontario, it's great to be with you around the Golden Horseshoe. Hamilton, Niagara, Meriden, Oakville, Toronto. We're in a Golden Horseshoe radio shoot. Of course, around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. And good to be with you people who are watching us in, so far this week, Utah, Tokyo, Houston.
Oshawa.
No, they were Tokyo. Oh, Australia.
Yeah, Australia.
Australia. What do you think of that there, Fred, man?
Well, I think it's quite remarkable where we're at and with technology that you can, you know, you don't need permission from anybody. You can just hook stuff up and broadcast to the world. How exciting is that?
It's an exciting time.
Is it not?
Speaking of broadcast, legendary... Jerry Howarth will join us today. Jerry Howarth of the Blue Jays baseball team. Not for the first time. We've had Jerry on before. Great guest. Great guy.
Speaking of Twitch, I wonder if he's getting all twitchy. You know, because this will be the second year of his retirement. I'm just wondering around spring training time when what goes through his mind. Because having a job that you love, and believe me, he loved the job. Giving it up, what it's like. Each year when the spring training starts.
Interesting. I was watching a little bit of the, I think it was Cardinals Philly pregame from Philly's little cute ballpark down there in Florida. And I thought, I wasn't sure if it was Shulman calling the game or not. But what I did think to what you just said, those guys, those broadcasters are doing 30 or 40 preseason games, 162 regular season games, and if they call the playoffs, these guys are doing upwards around 200 games a year.
Yeah, they could. Yeah,
I mean that's a real. Would there be another play-by-play gig in sports like that? No,
not close, not even close.
Well, a hockey guy might do. What would the main hockey guy do? 80?
Well, Joe Bowen would do 82. He might do half a dozen preseason games, 90, and then depending on how quick. How long the playoff run was. You know, the TV guys don't do as much as the radio guys. Like,
no.
Joe Bowen calls every Leaf game on the radio. But between TSN, Sportsnet, CBC, you know, there's three or four different guys.
But there'd be a bunch of guys in baseball. Almost every ballpark, or every baseball team would have their local guy who's doing 100 games-ish. More than that. 110 or 115 games.
And the thing about Jerry, I went through his book yesterday... And there was one section about what his routine was. And it was interesting. He did the same thing every game day as far as prep goes and having a nap and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, boy, that's pretty rigid. And every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if that was Joe Bowen, it would be every other day or three times a week. With Jerry, once the season starts, it's pretty much 7 days a week. So you're married to that job. I mean, just think about that. I mean, the Blue Jays can go on a 12-game road trip.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, though. But you would have half of those games, you'd be sleeping in your own bed. So 80,
oh, yeah.
80 plus of those days. But still, just being on the road like that, you got to love that. You got to love going to the ballpark every day.
But not only... Yeah, being at home is great. I mean, in your own bed. But still, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So something's going on the weekend, some family thing or some friends thing, or no, sorry. You're at the ballpark.
It's a busy factory.
The guys that do golf, it's not the same group that does every tournament. Although PGA Tour Radio on, you okay over there?
Oh my god,
you got Phil's holding his Twitch light.
Sorry,
so I love it. I love the fact that before the show now, it's just Sean and Phil trying to figure out where the light should go so Phil doesn't look like an Asian vampire.
I know. I'm just trying to make sure that people can see me
at
properly.
At the campfire here. I don't know.
Just, putting on my makeup.
Oh, Charlie's in the shot. Oh, Charlie's in the shot. Uh-oh. Don't look.
Oh, no.
Charlie. Hi, Charlie. Charlie's from New York now. She's my doll. She's my little baby.
She's in a New York state of mind.
Mm-hmm. Charlie's home. I never saw her till just now. She came in last night. You know, she's like, "Oh, I'm coming in from New York, but I want to see you because I got to go see my friends first."
So, is your do people your age? Do you have a purse?
A purse?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She has multiple purses.
You call them purses?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Is it full of Yankee greenbacks?
Full of what?
Yankee greenbacks.
American money.
Oh.
Sometimes. What's it like being an American? Do you love Trump?
No.
Do you love Trump more than you love Papa?
I met a presidential candidate yesterday.
Hold on. Let's get her over here. Anyway, so before she's getting settled, I was going to say the PGA Tour Radio, those guys call every tournament, every day of every tournament. So you think about it. If it's the same broadcast team, it's 4 days times 44 golf tournaments-ish.
They have the same team?
PGA Tour Radio does.
Really?
The television team changes depending on who has the rights.
The network, yeah.
The network. So, but those guys on PGA Tour on Sirius XM, they're always the same.
Hmm.
So they're calling a lot of... Mm-hmm. Those are a lot of days in a row. And therefore, think about those guys every weekend.
But they also get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off.
Right. So they travel. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're home usually. And then they are... I think they show up at the tournament... on the tournament site around, you know, Wednesday to get ready for Thursday. Anyway, Charlie, you met a presidential, first of all, hi. Do you really want to?
I don't care.
But you got to be close to the microphone.
Did Daddy never teach you how to work a mic?
It's just chairs far back. It's fine. It's okay. Yeah.
Well, lower.
Do you not have chairs in the States?
No, we do. Ours just roll a little bit easier.
Just go lower it a bit so you can get the handles under the table.
I love how Sean's already put Charlie's name up on the...
cover that.
Yeah, cover the light.
So bright.
Okay.
I hate that.
But you have to talk into the microphone, honey.
Okay, yes.
There you are. So who did you meet?
Presidential candidate Andrew Yang, who's running in 2020, and our office was having like a benefit for him.
Andrew Yang, is he a senator or is he a congressman?
I don't even think he was. He was like an entrepreneur. He started a company called Venture for America because he realized the big problem was all the jobs in the Midwest had gone away because of technology, and that's what's led to like suicide rates going up, and that's what's led to all the unhappiness, and that's what led...
Fake
news.
It's
very interesting.
Look at you, campaign manager.
It's very good. I was like, oh, okay.
Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang 2020. I like have a tattoo.
I saw him the other night because they were... I forget what they were asking him about something, but he's a Democrat, obviously.
Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, interesting guy.
But since he's tracking pretty well, because that's what was my biggest question is like, you know, he's selling his platform to a room of like, you know, well-educated, you know, people in an office building, but what about like how does this message come across in like the places where you wouldn't think? And he said people like him because they're like, oh, this is what I thought I was getting when I was voting for Trump, like someone who thought differently, like an entrepreneur, and like they thought that that's what Trump was going to be. So then they like him now.
And already Fox News, the Republicans are even trying to paint him as some kind of extreme socialist.
Well, because he's got like universal basic income, but he's calling it the freedom dividend, which is like American washing. So that's good. Yeah. But I feel like
Yang 2020, Andrew Yang for president. So
I was going to talk to you about him because I was like, I think you'd actually really think he was interesting. But we'll talk about it now on air. Why not?
We got time to fill. So Charlie's office is on Park Avenue.
Park Avenue South. Don't make that mistake because you can send somebody up, miles away.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're on Park Avenue South and around 31st, 32nd, something
29th.
Like that? 29th. So there you are in this cool little office. You know, no one has, there's no doors. They just sit around on throw pillows and you know, put on puppet shows. I don't know what they do. So he came into that office and just, what, talked for him?
Yeah, they put on, like, a whole, like, political benefit. It was very American. Like, I felt like I was in, like, you know, in the American TV shows when, like, the office has the political benefit for the candidate and, like,
sure.
It's just, like, it was the very American moment for me. It was, like, all this red and blue lights everywhere. Like, this is fucking weird. That's right.
This is terrestrial radio, man. What do you know?
Sorry.
And that was the big one.
Wow. Daddy needs to work. Daddy still needs to work.
I'm very, very sorry. I've had like two sips of coffee. I haven't really.
Spencer, I would expect that from.
I know, I'm sorry. It's a rant.
Throws the bomb down.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I apologize.
What's Her Head is very popular in New York, too. Ocasio. What's her name?
I can never remember.
Alexandria Ocasio. What's her name?
Ocasio Cortez?
Yes.
What's her first name? Alexandra?
Alexandra?
Yeah.
Yeah, AOC.
Yeah, she's cool. Yeah, people seem to like her.
Yeah, she's a bit extreme. You know, she had an offhand comment. You know, the New Green or Green New program. New Green program. She was talking about it, and they were asking her. She just had an offhand comment like, well, we got to do this and do that long before we get to farting cows on airplanes. Like, just kidding.
Yeah.
About cleaning up
like
the environment.
A joke, you know.
Well, now on Fox News, the Democrats want to take airplanes out of the...
Yes, out of the sky.
They don't want anyone to eat beef. Yeah. There will be no cows. There will be no airplanes. They just grabbed that little snippet of an offhand joke, kidding line by her, and now have turned it into extreme socialism. There will be no planes in America. No one will be able to eat beef.
Can you imagine how annoying that must be? You'd be like,
no,
I know. That's so not even what I was saying.
Exactly.
Like,
just
oh
a quick sidebar for Freddie. I was working with somebody yesterday. I've been hosting this thing all week called The Midas Letter. And one of the producers, a younger girl who is about 10 years older than Charlie, she went to New York to work in radio at WABC. Girlfriend Rachel's here.
Do you want to sit down and swear?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to come and throw the F-bomb to the job?
Family.
And Rachel got her hair cut. It looks great.
I noticed right away.
You did? It took me half an hour.
Really?
Took me a long time. So this producer I worked with yesterday, she ended up working at WABC, and one of the shows she was producing, she never met him, but she had filled in. She worked with Don Imus, and she worked a little bit on the Hannity show. Mm-hmm. And Hannity broadcasts out of Florida. That's where he was had his studio at the time.
Oh,
he
really?
Wasn't working out of New York. I just said...
Before Fox?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Or maybe not before Fox. He was on Fox 10 years ago. Anyway, what she was telling me is that... I said, what's he like? And she said, he's a great broadcaster. I said, I couldn't agree with you more. I said, I know he seems like a bit of a dick. And she said, from what she heard, not at all. Actually, a pretty good guy.
Howard... Many nights he has Democrats on his show, ones he likes.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation always somehow lets you that he has dinner with these people, he interacts with these people, he learns. He's an act. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
And he's a great act because he gets you so mad and wound up. But that...
Well, and that's what I said to this woman I was working with yesterday. I said, I never really got him until I heard him on radio. Because when you see him on TV, he aggravates me, and I don't really receive his broadcast ability. When you hear him do a radio show, you can tell he's got chops.
And
he's been at it a while.
Take nothing away. I think he's somewhat dangerous, and he spreads mistruths. That's his deal. His job.
On Twitch, somebody has noticed now we've had swearing on the radio 2 days in a row. Yesterday, the Fred Man. Today, Baby Charlie Glassman.
Not even in the same class.
Oh, no.
I know.
Charlie took it to the extreme.
Get into the microphone.
What does it even mean, though? It's fine. It's just
it means,
a word.
It's nothing just now. Talk closer.
It's nothing. It's whatever.
All right. Yeah, Daddy has no job. I'll come live with you.
You tell that to the powers that be.
I'm so sorry.
You tell that to the CRTC.
I really am.
So I've been telling the audience about some of your adventures living in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which is... from Charlie's apartment, it's like looking across, whatever that Humber Bay to looking across to the East River.
The Empire State Building.
So has the novelty of living in New York worn off?
It's weird because, like, on a day-to-day basis, you don't really think about it much. You're like, I'm waking up, I'm going to work, I get a coffee. And then you just, like, catch a... you, like, happen to look up, and you're like, and there's the Empire State Building, and I live in New York, and this is weird. Like, it's very... It kind of subtly presents itself, I guess, but... I don't know. I feel like the novelty hasn't happened yet, almost. Because it's winter, and everyone's in, like, it's like...
Right, but you say winter, but it's warmer than here. Right?
It's It was cold. It was cold yesterday. It was like minus 5-6, and I was like, "Oh, this is freezing." And then I had to stand outside for half an hour
in New York.
And then I got off the train, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Like this is, I forgot. Like my ears instantly froze. I was like, "This is way worse."
But generally, your winter has been a joke.
I mean, apparently, it's been like a warm year, so it's not normal, but
it's damp there too.
Yeah,
and they normally get more snow than you've had this year.
5 degrees warmer and not very snowy. We've had like 2 snowy days, maybe.
All right. Well, listen. Thanks for coming in and dropping the F-bomb on the show. Appreciate that.
I'm back.
Now go hang out with Rachel and tell her how great her haircuts looks because
I
love
it. That's the first thing I said.
Oh, is Rachel being covered up? Yeah. So Rachel was being covered up by Charlie. Now she'll be covered up by Phil on the television.
She got that haircut a week ago.
She got the haircut a week ago, by the way. Today's the 1 week anniversary of the $225 lobster.
Oh, yeah.
Lobster anniversary.
That's funny because Rachel sat down and I noticed that she had a haircut and a bit of a new style, and you hadn't noticed yet.
That's not entirely true.
Well,
I mean, it's a good bit. Okay, I hadn't noticed it.
No, you hadn't noticed it. I think she had to bring it to your attention.
She did.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. I haven't stopped noticing it for 7 days. Mm-hmm. Every time I see her last night, hey, nice haircut.
It's funny because sometimes Delisa will go and have her hair done. Like, she goes every 3 or 4 months, and it's a few bucks. And I always tell myself, well, she's gone. The minute she comes in, notice her hair. Tell her it's good.
Yeah.
Notice her hair. Tell us it's good.
Yeah.
Tell us her hair.
Like, tell us it's good.
You know,
yeah. Oh, no, I know.
She can forget easily.
Well, I've tried to make up for that mistake a week ago, and I've pointed out how lovely her hair looks, even this morning. No, last night I said, I really like your haircut. She goes, are you sure? Because I don't know if I like it. I said, I know, but you'll grow to like it.
Sure.
I'm having a haircut conversation.
You know, haircuts are like, who cares? It just grows back.
Yeah, it's all part
easy
of it.
For us to say.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? You lose an arm, it's never coming back.
Oh, no, it's not?
Yeah, you get a bad haircut. Give it a couple of weeks.
You know, every 4 months I get my arms trimmed.
Yes.
Easy for us to say, you know, because we don't give a crap.
No, I know women are obsessed with stuff
well,
like
that. Well, because it's an accessory. It's part of a total... Like when somebody gets their haircut, I told Rachel the story when Charlie got her haircut. Charlie, excuse my interruption. When did you have your haircut? And then I picked you up and you bawled your eyes out for days.
Oh, that was like a year or two ago.
Oh, no, not a year or two. In the last year. I picked her up and she seemed okay. I said, oh, your hair looks... She says, oh, I just had my haircut. It was pretty short. And she seemed okay. But by the time the car ride was over, she was in tears.
Oh.
Like blubbering. Yeah, it was not good.
How do you know, easy for us to say, but as a guy, how do you not but laugh? Like, I got to go show, look at this haircut, I got to go show.
Yeah.
Well, I got to show my buddy, this is funny.
Well, no, can you imagine you picked me up to go to some event and I my haircut didn't turn out the way I liked it and I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
Howard, are you okay?
An incident when I was a kid, my mom went to the hairdresser who she knew very, 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 very well.
Mm-hmm.
She got a perm and the woman sort of burnt it.
Ooh.
Like, can you do that with a perm or left it in? Whatever it was.
Yes,
but my mom's hair, it got hard and started to fall out. It was horrible. And I remember for days, my mom in the bathroom crying, looking at herself, trying
to figure it out. It's very traumatic.
I know it is.
Yeah.
And then she actually got a wig for a while. It was that bad. But I remember feeling bad for my mom, like every... Part of me is going, like, what's the big deal? And the other half is going, wow, this is a big deal.
Well, it's
her.
Upsetting for her.
Yeah.
You're empathetic.
She had to go to work. And yeah.
Something's gone really wrong.
Luba Glassman, may she rest in peace.
Luba.
Mama. She used to have her hair colored as she got older. And it was, I don't even know, I think her original hair color was sort of brown. But as she got older, she was coloring it more...
Blue?
No, reddish.
Okay.
And then I just remember one time she came home and it was gold. Mm. Like it was the color of, it was so weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember thinking, I didn't know what color it was. That's why I had to ask her, what color is that, Mom? What have you done to your head?
Was blonde or auburn?
It was blonde, trying to be blonde, but more gold.
Mm-hmm.
It was a color not in nature.
Like a wheaty thing.
Here's a question I've wondered, and this is a legitimate. I hope I'm okay to ask this about the Asian culture.
Sure.
When Asian men and women color their hair, and I've seen a few, is it usually to go blonde to get away from just jet black?
Well, Pearlie is actually a redhead. well, Pearly dyes her hair a certain type of red, like more of an auburn than a bright red. And sometimes I ask her about that because, well, her natural hair color, just like I am, is black. And I'm like, well, why do you change your hair color? And she goes, you know, just to look different. Because, you know, when you're from a culture where everyone has the same hair as you, you kind of want to stand out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Aunt Susan is blonde. Because she chooses to.
You've seen some Asian. It can be kind of sexy, actually. Asian women blonding their hair or putting some streaks.
Yeah.
I really like when they have black hair but with some blonde streaks in it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That sort of Yu-Gi-Oh sort of haircut.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Right, Sean?
Oh, yeah, and Sean, all that hente lifestyle and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a different reference.
What's Sean talking about?
Hente means porn.
Oh, okay.
Yu-Gi-Oh is just a TV show.
Fun
with
stuff.
With a guy
I'm watching the real stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about the.
God.
I don't watch cartoons.
You know what
stuff.
I used to like? Do you remember when Gwen Stefani first went on her solo thing and she had the Harajuku girls?
Mm-hmm.
I like those girls. Like that kind of
Harajuku.
Asian.
Yeah.
Harajuku. All right, big show today. We mentioned that Jerry Howarth's on the show. You know who we haven't talked about? We'll get to Alex Trebek as well. There's some interesting news. I heard you guys talking about Phil's predicament with his immigration and Pearl's stuff.
Oh, yes.
And I heard you mention Tony Clement.
Tony.
Oh, dear.
And Tony is a friend of the show. Had him on several times, and then he got into a bit of trouble for sending pictures of his wiener to people.
Yeah.
What's happened to our friend Tony?
You know, he hasn't been in the news.
I know he went and got some help.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. I'll read you the statement.
The sex addict?
Yeah. He's a sex problem.
Is that spin?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, and it's a tough one because I would say this is a victimless crime, but it's not. I imagine his wife is a victim through this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine her receiving that news and having to deal with it?
Oh, yes.
And obviously, I think to this point she stood behind him. So it's not a victimless crime. And you really like Tony. He's a good guy.
Aside. His office is wonderfully professional.
It's a sweet man. It's hard to get your head around that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's such a sweet guy, he's a nice guy, a prominent position in Canadian politics. You just wonder, how could you be that stupid? It's just hard to make that. He's a lawyer.
You know, you bring up an interesting notion. It's hard to believe he was that stupid. It's not hard to believe that he did it, though, because we're all a bunch of monkeys. We're all just, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe he did it because of who he is, but.
No, Howard, would you take a picture of. I wouldn't. Like, and again...
Would I take a picture of what, my wiener? And send
and
it
to somebody you don't know? Come on.
To someone I don't know? No, but I've sent it to a bunch of people I do know.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I do like a... Every Christmas, I do like an advent calendar, and it's a picture of my wiener for 28 days.
Okay. Even if you weren't humble, Howard.
Yep.
Or Fred Patter, whatever that's worth. Like, I would just never do that.
Neither would I.
Given where we're at. And this is recent history, so...
Forget where we're at. I wouldn't have done it when we weren't where we're at.
No, that's what I mean, and this is recent history. Tony was well aware of other stories and incidents...
I'd say.
...where people have got stung. That was just stupid.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 weeks, I have shared sexually explicit images and a video of myself to someone who I believed was a consenting female recipient. The recipient was, in fact, an individual or party who targeted me for the purpose of financial extortion. See, that was also part of the story. Is that he was being extorted
because
he had sent pictures of Tony's wiener.
And three men from West Africa are facing charges for that reason.
Are they really?
Yeah, they were extorted.
How do you go pick out three guys in West Africa?
Oh, easy. If you have a computer and an IP, it's easy for, with the RCMP, for example, to track you. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, but how do they... So what do they have, like... legal agreements with that country?
They
or
will
something?
Have tracking software. They will have partnerships.
No, but how are they? Who charges them?
The Nigerian police, probably.
Wow.
Yeah. The federal police.
I don't know. I don't have the part where he talks about the help he's seeking. But Andrew Scheer, when he was receiving Tony's resignation, said, "I'm encouraged that he has decided to seek help, and I wish him all the best." But really, that's where I. Not to make fun of it, but like, what is that help? You go into a room, you talk to a counselor, and the counselor says, "Hey, Tony, I got a great idea. Don't send pictures of your wiener to people."
Yeah.
Okay. Next session, let's talk about that again.
What I don't get, where is the charge in that?
I don't know.
Because he knew that the person he was sending it to wasn't close
or known, right?
Yeah. Not, so where is the thrill in that? I don't. It's really weird.
Yeah, I was gonna,
Let's get him in here.
It's all very weird. Well, one day.
Maybe.
You know, I feel a little bit weird because he was such a good friend of ours. Helped our boy Phil. I don't want to pile on him. It's just one of those things you think, whatever happened to him? Just disappeared.
No, it's like he wasn't out there Michael Jacksoning.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that email. Okay, listen, we're going to take a break. I'm going to play with Charlie. You won't be hearing any audio during the Twitch break here today because I'm going to be over there. You guys can keep the mics on. It's Humble and Fred Radio live on Southern Ontario's comedy superstation, Funny 820, and at humbleandfredradio.com. I'm going to be a star and make them laugh. Sound just like a record on a phonograph. Those days are gone forever, over a long time ago. Oh yeah.
I've never seen you looking so bad, my funky one. You tell me that your super fine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I don't care if I play too much Steely Dan. I like him. Fred likes him. I like him. Guys our age like Steely Dan, so, you know, so what? Just deal with it. You don't even know Steely Dan. Jerry Howarth is our guest at 8 o'clock Eastern. If you're downloading the show, that'll be in about 25 minutes from now. Still to come, we got to talk about what's happening to Alex Trebek. And a 65-year-old man has died doing something. You'd think that by the time you got to 65, you wouldn't care anymore. As well, I don't know if you guys saw Mark Zuckerberg's state of the Facebook security speech. He's put it out on Facebook. I found it interesting. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it. Any of you kids?
You know, I actually feel a bit sorry for him. Just how the world changes around technology and they have to stay ahead of it. And you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, he's well paid for it, but still, I imagine a lot of things happen beyond their control or things they never think of. And,
well, you know? If you think about it, Mark Zuckerberg, in a weird way, is, I don't want to say president or prime minister or whatever he is, but he controls a company that basically has a couple billion constituents. Mm-hmm. And his company, he and his people, have a way to influence the world in ways that governments can't.
Right.
It's pretty, well, that's why I say I want to bring it up only because of just the tone of it and the fact that it's almost like the president's State of the Union.
Yeah. You know, and now it's been brought into the political arena.
Yep.
Accusations of, you know, slanting news one way or the other. It's quite fascinating. Yes, it is.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And I'll tell you, I'll bet you, even though he's worth billions, I'm sure he has a lot of sleepless nights having this stuff run through his mind.
Well,
because he's responsible. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I created this thing.
I was going to say, so, I wonder if he does, if he catches himself, like, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I rewatched The Social Network sometime in the last year. It's a great movie. But you just see it started sort of innocently enough, and it just, what it has blossomed into. There's no way they could have imagined. I don't care. I know Sean, what's-his-face from Napster and all that. They could have never imagined the world, how it would change. As you just said, became politically influential, how it's ruined people's lives, how it's made stars of some people.
Right down to brass tacks, how it's ended friendships.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Something else.
Yes. Let's talk about our friend, speaking of friend, the retirement Sherpa.
Well, Tim Niblett, he's a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Yesterday, the Sherp was on, and he was talking about estate planning, wills, trust funds, the tax implications tied to those things, TFSA accounts, cash accounts. And then he touched on family conversations, which are very important. Family conversations and documents that can, you know, maybe avoid a big, huge family fight after you croak. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Because there's lots of those, you know. Estate planning, very, very important. Now, if you want to know more about this and you need someone to help you with your money and maybe your estate planning, Tim Niblett is the guy to talk to. RetirementSherpa.ca is how to get a hold of Tim. He's got a great estate planning page, too, on the Raymond James Wealth Management page. Go there. And it gives you, it's a sort of how-to on estate planning.
Excellent. Excellent work. Mm-hmm. Just looking here at some of the Twitch comments today. Someone said, oh, just caught a cameo of GFR. I think that's the first time, you know, she's ever been seen by the radio audience. Someone else says, aw, Twitch lets us see Humble being all lovey-dovey with GF Rachel. And then someone else said, sweet wife Delise needs to make a guest visit. And Delise has actually been on the show. Rachel doesn't want to come on the show, mm-hmm. which I respect. Mm-hmm. And I used to like having Charlie on the show till she said the F-bomb and put Daddy out of work. That's sweet. Yeah. That's sweet, honey.
Phil, I wonder if we'll be called on the carpet for that.
There'll be a carpet call.
We might be called on the carpet for that.
Yeah, we'll have to clean the carpet.
No kidding. Hey, congratulations, the Week 4 Gig Sky winner. We talked about Eileen Comey. Eileen got herself the Gig Sky prize pack. Gig Sky! Yeah. What that is $100 worth of data. A hotspot, a value of around 100, and, I think it's 140, 150. Hey, this is quite a sweet prize. And
free sim.
Free sim!
Take it anywhere. As our friend Dave just found out, you know, you can, there's all kinds of little, you know, advantages to having the hotspot with you. Not the least of which is you can connect 20 plus other people to your portable Wi-Fi. Charlie Glassman and I used it in Iceland. We used it in France. You know, in the old days before you ruined Daddy's career. GigSky.com, HumbleAndFredRadio.com. Click on the GigSky button, and there you have it. There you have it. Alex Trebek just announced that he's ill, and we're going to play you a clip of Alex Trebek. The longtime host of Jeopardy. Canadian Alex Trebek. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Did you know he was Canadian?
Thunder Bay, right? Something like that. He's from Northern Ontario.
He was, I think he was a CBC guy at some point.
Well, didn't he do the school one? The, what was
Razzle
it?
Dazzle?
No, the...
Canadian Challenge or something like that? Or the High School Challenge?
Was it... There used to be a, like a... anyway,
there was a cross Canada.
There was a game show where
front page challenge
where high school students came on and
Reach for the Top.
Reach for the top. Yeah,
there was that one game show that never got any traction. It was called Are You Smarter Than Someone from Moose Jaw? That was a very it was a great idea. It never went anywhere. But why don't you take this? He looks amazing. He's 77 years old. Have a look. We're going to play the clip, but if you get a chance to go see him online, I mean, he looks 77 year old guy. Still working.
You know, I was going to say Canadian icon, but no, really, he's an entertainment icon, really.
Absolutely.
He just happens to be Canadian, and last night watching the news, and it was near the top of the newscast, that Ken Shaw told me about Alex Trebek, and 78 years old, stage 4 pancreatic cancer, just been diagnosed, and then he immediately went in the studio, and... recorded a message for the masses, and you have it, don't you?
We'll keep talking because I had it, and now, of course, you know, now that we're doing the show, here it is. Stage 4 pancreatic cancer
is not good.
That's the worst one to get. I know one person, you know him a little bit too, Michael Clarfield, Dr. Mike, who was the Leafs doctor for about 20 years, became my doctor. He had it as well. He beat it. And he beat it, I think, 5 years ago. But that's really, really rare. As you're going to hear Trebek say, there's a bunch of people that get diagnosed with this every year. Here's Alex Trebek talking about his diagnosis.
Hi, everyone. I have some news to share with all of you. And it's in keeping with my longtime policy of being open and transparent with our Jeopardy fan base. I also wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. So therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information. Now, just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, And with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told?
Now this is cool, because now he does a bit. Listen to this.
I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years.
Show business.
So help me. Keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done.
We'll get her done.
Here, here.
He's doing a little Larry the Cable Guy there at the end. Now, so guys, the takeaway is this, and I think we should start today. We need to pray for Alex Trebek.
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts
Our
and
Father prayers. Who art in heaven.
All right.
Poor bugger.
Yeah.
He is 78, though.
No, I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said 77. He's 78 years old.
Yeah, I was just trying to collect my thoughts there on that. I guess if you're going to get stage 4 pancreatic cancer, better at 78 than 58.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because he's almost entering that window of average guy death. So, average natural guy death, early 80s. So,
does that make you sad, honey, knowing that Papa one day will be...
You've been talking about your death.
Charlie just said, Dad, you've been talking about your death for centuries.
Right, death is a game.
Literally since the day I was born, you've been...
Yeah.
That's right. I used to say, you know, one day Daddy will die. I used to play this game, Sean. And Charlie, well, this is true. So when I would do the morning show with Fred. We'd get up at 3:30 in the morning. So I had a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old at home. And I would come home in the afternoon, and I would nap when the kids napped. But what I would do is sometimes I'd just be tired. I'd be laying on the couch, and they would be playing and making a bunch of noise. And in order to shut them up, I'd say, girls, come on, let's play a game. And I'd be laying on the couch. I go, I have my eyes closed. I go, let's play the game Daddy's on His Deathbed. Daddy's on His Deathbed was a fun childhood game. And what I would do is I'd close my eyes and I'd say, girls, is that you? I have to be quiet. I'm down my deathbed. And we would talk about some of the things we enjoyed. And and then I would die by going to have my nap.
Nice.
It's a fun game. Look at you. That's how she turned out to be such a good kid.
Childhood game. Childhood game. Memories.
Charlie, what do you remember of your father? Well, he's been pretending he's on his deathbed for 50 years.
For the last 2 hours, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing how times change, you know, for a good part of your life, especially when you're a lot younger. The thought of your dad dying is just, like, inconceivable. And if they ever did, you just don't, like, what would I do? Like, other people's dads died, not mine. And then they get to an age all of a sudden, overnight, and it's like, you know, if they die, would they actually be better off? Like, you know, you accept it. Yeah, it's really weird.
Charlie's like, I've been thinking that for years. She's like, I've been thinking Daddy would be better off for years. Someone just asked us how I know Michael Clarfield. It's quite well known that he beat this pancreatic cancer. I don't know how he did it. I mean, I've never asked him. I've seen him several times since he had the diagnosis, and then he looks great. He's getting close to retirement, too, but I don't know how, but I just know this. At stage 4, the reason pancreatic cancer is so devastating as a diagnosis is because there's no way to detect it until it gets to stage 3 or stage 4, and by that time, it's too late.
I hear like a combination of goat urine and sulfur.
Yeah.
But you drink that.
But it has to be the right type of goat urine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can't Mountain be local. It has to be locally sourced. Goat urine. I'll call Mike. Hey, Fred wants to know. Is it goat urine?
What kind of goat urine? No, it's lamb.
Oh, that's another thing you read people. You know, if you have the means and you come up with, or you come down with one of these diseases, you know, you just try everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
People travel like.
Well, wouldn't
halfway around, I guess, if I had the means halfway around the world to, you know, eat a plant or something.
Well, it's like that Andy Kaufman thing, you know, when he was diagnosed in the Man on the Moon movie. You know, he travels to India, mm-hmm. some faith healer.
And yeah.
The irony is it turns out to be a big scam. But I was going to say, if someone said, listen, you've got some lung cancer and the only place that you can that will be able to help you is the Mayo Clinic or some special hospital in the States, it's going to cost you $300,000. Yeah, and if you had it, wouldn't you spend it?
You know, because I'm thinking, okay, if it doesn't work, that's $300,000 that my kids could have had.
You know? Yeah, but if it does work, you get to live.
How much longer?
Okay, all right. Mr. 225 Lobster, you're like, I don't know.
No, but that, again, I can't put myself. If $300,000 didn't put a nick in me, then fine. Yeah, I would do it. But I that would go through my mind.
No, I know.
If this doesn't work, I mean, I'd rather the kids have that money.
But I wonder if there's a number. Like, I mean, is it one of those things where you... What's that?
Listen to Fred.
Oh, okay. Look at Charlie. Yeah. What, are you writing your own show now?
So listen to Fred, Daddy. Don't spend any more than $1,500 to keep yourself alive. Your limit, your
what are you doing with your watch? Is your watch not working?
Stop. And I look at it for the time. But anyway,
it's 7:44.
Yeah, I know.
It's there. So you're saying, like, if you went to the Mayo Clinic and you thought it was going to be $100,000 and all of a sudden they sent you a bill for, like, $225,000, and you're like, what? Sticker shock, you know?
Well, you'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
Like, if they said it's absolutely guaranteed that you'll be cured, I'm sure you'd go, well, okay, that's worth it.
Well, again,
but there
depends.
Are no guarantees.
If you're 78, oh, Amanda Barker, Amanda Barker, aloha, aloha, aloha,
aloha.
If somebody said, if you were 78 years old, and somebody said to me, it's going to cost $300,000, and you may, and it may not work, but it will only give you 3 more years of life.
No,
I don't
way.
Know if I'd do it.
No,
no, just because at that point, as you said about Trebek, you know, 78.
What would those 3 years be like? No. No. I'd rather that money enjoyed by healthy people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you said you had the means to do it and you could, you know, guarantee some quality.
Yeah, I'm a billionaire
quality.
And it's like, you know, buying a... You know, buying some Tylenol? Yeah, of course I would do it.
Someone has suggested Himalayan goat urine is the urine.
Is
yes, yes.
You'll lick it off the crystal, right? The ice
and
crystal.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our program. A lady that last time we'd seen her, she'd never been to. And now here she is, a gooka hala hala.
Hello.
Amanda Barker, everybody. Amanda Barker.
Hello. Do these work? Am I on? Is this thing on? Hi.
Yeah, I don't think those
Aloha.
Headphones are working.
Okay, good.
Don't even need them.
I mean, I've done that every time, every week.
Yeah, every
for
week.
Like
it's your
months.
Cool. Although now we have, can we get a light on Amanda, please?
I feel like sometimes they work. What is going on? Lights?
Oh, we got lights now. We're trying to, trying to light
this. Don't light
spaces.
This. Oh, God. Don't underlight this. 3-point lighting, folks.
So you've traveled.
I have.
And you've been to some places.
I have, yeah.
Talk to us of your impressions of Hawaii.
I think it really is special.
It's something
like,
else, isn't
it really is like nowhere else I've been. And you're right. I've been like there are parts of it. Now I went to the Big Island, so I haven't seen Oahu and I haven't seen Maui or Kauai. But just from the Big Island, like, yeah, there's it's so many different terrains. It's amazing.
Well,
like,
it was
12
all
different
formed,
climates
yeah,
there.
All formed by volcanic.
It's amazing.
With volcanic eruptions.
Volcanoes that made the islands.
And there's rainforest.
There's rainforest and there's beach and there's even snow-capped mountainy things.
There's snow-capped mountains?
They do get snow, but it melts quickly, but they do get it. 12 microclimates.
If you want to know about glaciers, that's Sean's area.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's his new expertise.
Glaciers? Okay.
But what about, you're an American.
Yeah.
Does it feel like America to
you? No, it does
not.
Yeah,
they're like a different people.
It is. It's kind of cool.
It is. Polynesian-based.
Also, here's what I didn't know, that it didn't become a state until 1960 or 59.
Late 50s, yeah. Early 60s, yeah.
So, like, people remember that? I'd never heard this.
Well, we were alive
really?
Then.
You were
territory.
Alive? Like, growing up, it's always
what
50
year
states.
Was it?
1959 or
59,
so.
Yeah.
59
think,
or 60,
yeah.
They got statehood.
That's insane. So you guys remember when it wasn't a state?
Well, I don't. I wasn't born yet.
Wasn't Alaska even
when were you
after?
Born?
Alaska was even after that, I thought.
Yeah, they were both admitted around the same time.
Because it was 48 states, and then they took in Alaska. And...
But, like, my parents would remember that? I didn't
sure
know
would.
That. That's crazy.
What about the flight time? Because we talked to Amanda before she left. It is a long way to go from here. It's like going to... It's by the time you get off the final part of the flight, it's 12 hours, 13 hours?
Yeah, it's 12 hours. So it's nothing to snark at, as my husband would say. It's... Yeah, it's five, but it's 5 and 5. I think it would have been in a way, it was good that I didn't have a ton of time in Vancouver. In another way, I'm like, I think I'd like to do a day in Vancouver before I get back into that death vessel. that bullet in the sky of
You got this cheap flight. We had talked about that. Amanda goes on this site. It's called YYZ Deals. And you got to Hawaii return for under $500.
Yeah, $420, I think it was.
That's amazing.
I know, it's insane. A Canadian.
Canadian.
I know, and people there were saying, "Oh, there's all these." In fact, it was on the news. All these cheap flights that are happening to Hawaii to encourage tourism and so on. And they were talking about 300 flights from California. And I'm like, "We did pretty well."
Did you find it expensive when you were there?
Not really. I mean, no more than the States. Like, not Ohio cheap, but like California cheap.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't find it expensive at all. Man, at Costco, you can get a big thing of poke, like huge bucket of poke tuna for $15. Even in Canadian, that's
good. I'm going.
Well, you love your poke. If I've heard Fred say it once, I've heard him say it 1,000 times. We're going to get me some poke.
Poke, what is that? Man.
It's like a it's like tuna. A salad-y, raw tuna. Yeah.
It's raw. But it's wrong. Good.
It's like sushi, but marinade. In chunks.
Yeah. Sushi in chunks, but also with a rice. Certain marinade. Yeah. I didn't
amazing.
Know.
Amazing. Of all the things in Hawaii, that was one of the main selling points for you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the poo-poo. That's for sure.
The poop, there's. I ate a lot of poo-poo.
Lovely poo-poo.
Man, the calamari there is huge.
Oh.
But I did come back, because I came back last night, and I'm definitely this morning, as I scraped off my car, having that, like, why do we live here thing that I know you guys are in a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, why?
But you know what? This weekend is sort of the first real sign that it's about to be over, because we spring our clocks forward.
Yes.
Do we go forward?
Yes, forward.
Yeah.
So
spring forward, fall back.
A couple nights from now, it'll be lighter longer, darker earlier. Mm-hmm. Don't care.
But I was thinking that, just taking some garbage out 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. I'm in Mexico. You walk in and out of a place and it's just like normal. And now when I walk out of my house, you have to keep your eyes down. Make sure you don't step on ice. Don't slip. It's frigid cold.
Oh, yes.
You know, like everything's a chore.
It is.
It's sickening.
It's hard.
No, it's terrible.
It's hard here.
You know, when it gets to the point where you've had enough. And it's like the way this is dragging on, too. Mm-hmm. Even if it was like 6 or 7 degrees higher than it's been, it would be somewhat livable.
Oh, when you say this is dragging on, the show or the temperatures?
My life.
Oh, my God. Seriously, get a hobby, man. Do something. Barker, I'm so excited that you... I apologize, because every email that you have sent in the last 7 days, I just keep going, aloha, aloha.
As have I. Man, Hawaiians are really hard. I'm a super white there. Like, I was like, all the beaches are the same name to me. I was like,
Kukanakala,
in the car, we're like, what's the name of that place?
Don't you love the language where they'll just throw three consonants in a row, followed by four vowels, and then a P?
All vowels.
All vowels.
H's, P's, M's. That's
I told you, they only have 13 letters in the Hawaiian language.
I know.
What was your peak experience? Like, what was it? Like, you looked out and you saw, like, some crazy waves or rocks or sky?
There's a few, but I jumped into the water. We had bought snorkels from Costco before we left.
Costco snorkels.
To have in the trunk. And so every beach we went to, I'd just throw on a snorkel and get in. And one of them, I went in. And I was swimming with a family of turtles.
Aww.
Like, come on. That's amazing.
And I love turtles.
Did you happen to see Magnum? His helicopter?
No.
His helicopter?
No. I think he's more on Oahu.
He's on Oahu?
Oahu. Oahu. And that little
thingy. Because he's back, you know.
Yeah, apparently.
He's back.
Apparently.
He's back, yeah.
And Marco enjoyed it, I imagine?
It was everything we had hoped.
Did you happen upon any... wacky Hawaiian tabaki?
No. the disc from your daughter.
Oh, no. You didn't hear it. Like,
I missed it. Yeah.
45 minutes ago. She just dropped the F-bomb.
I was on Ossington. I can't hear.
Yeah, because now she's a big American. She does what she wants.
This show just won't play on Ossington.
Yeah. We're not Ossington friendly.
No, I know. So I had to turn it off and listen to...
Did you make love on a secluded beach?
No, not really.
Hey,
but
come on. Workplace.
But we did stay. We did stay in the rainforest in Volcano, which was really neat.
Yeah,
the town of Volcano.
So, beside the family of turtles,
snort noises that come out.
No, I don't even notice them anymore.
I didn't.
No,
even hear
I don't. He just. I listened. I was watching the Twitch feed just to check the audio out the other day, and you're right. All it is a constant cacophony of Phil going. We gotta take a break. Amanda, it's great having you back.
It's great to be back. And, it was great to go.
Sure it is.
And it's great to be back. It's great to be here. Just not great to be in the winter.
That's a stretch.
Great to be in winter.
We're going to take a quick break. Jerry Howarth, our guest, in a couple minutes' time. His new book is called Hello, Friends. Stories from My Life. What am I missing?
And Blue Jays baseball?
Oh, yeah. Stories from My Life and Blue Jays. I couldn't see the end. Good Lord. Okay, 1-833-437-8465. That's our actual phone number. You can text that as well. You can tune in to Twitch. We are the most viewed broadcast on Twitch TV in Canada.
What?
Yeah.
How many viewers do we have?
22. Don't even worry about that. You know how we do here on the Humble and Fred Show? We don't talk numbers.
Well,
never talk numbers. Really? That was the first rule of Fight Club. People say, how many people listen? Doesn't matter. We just have a very dedicated
right
audience.
Right now.
Right now. Most downloaded podcast in Canadian podcast history.
Uploaded.
Because we say so.
Yes.
Uploaded.
Right.
It's Humble and Fred Radio and humbleandfredradio.com.
You'll have to be the one to let me know.
And welcome back, everyone. We're excited. Jerry Howarth, our guest, in about 2 minutes' time. First, let's talk about our good friends at LFS Credit and Finance.
Hey, if you're a business owner looking to upgrade equipment without tying up existing capital, then LFS Credit and Finance Solutions is your best choice for leases and loans, restaurant equipment, construction, medical, industrial, maybe just a new copier for your office. LFS offers years of experience and personalized service. LFS Credit and Finance Solutions at creditfinance.ca. Go there and find out how they can help you get whatever you need. LFS.
If you're not part of the chamber plan, you should be. What's going on with you and your company? If you're a small business with employees between 1 and 100, Canada's number one plan for employee benefits, as you know, is the chamber plan. It's simple, it's stable, it's smart, rates stay. Okay, you two, you three. Listen, we're trying to run a professional broadcast. Chamber plan. If you're watching on Twitch, Amanda, Sean, and Phil are having some fun with their little individual lights, and they look a little freaky. But you know the good news? We have insurance for everybody. And now Amanda's adjusting her harness. You're like you.
What?
You're putting your hand inside your...
My bra. I haven't worn a bra in a week. Chambers plan.
Jerry Howarth, people. Jerry Howarth is standing by. The chamber plan is a simple, stable, smart choice for businesses combining accessibility, flexibility, and stability of pool benefits. Firms choose the chamber plan year after year because it offers unsurpassed value and customer service. Chamberplan.ca. Every time we have a chance to talk to our next guest, it's always a thrill. He's been a good friend of the show, has come on and talked baseball whenever we've asked. And it always, you know, for a show like ours, it's always a nice boost when somebody of Jerry's stature and standing takes a couple seconds. He has written an amazing book. It's called Hello, Friends, Stories from My Life and Blue Jay Baseball. And we say good morning to Jerry Howarth. Hey, Jerry.
Well, good morning, and quit making me laugh. You guys are having too much fun for this early in the morning.
Well, people have been saying that to us for years, Jerry. Quit making us laugh.
Now, let me pause right here, because as I was listening to you and having a good time doing it, I went back in my mind to about 1994, driving my kids to St. Mike's High School and listening to your show. So, haven't you been on the air at least 25 years together?
Well, Jerry, this is our 30th year of broadcasting as a team. Not 30 in a row, but we started in 1989. We're calling this year hashtag HF30.
Okay, well, I thought so, because that goes all the way back, a great history for me with my two boys. And listening to Humble and Fred, so congratulations.
And, you know, we have a studio now in the Queensway right at Islington, which isn't far from your home, right, Jer?
No, it isn't. In fact, I go by there pretty much every day, so I'll be stopping by sometime, but maybe not at 8 in the morning.
You know, we were talking about you earlier, you know, in anticipation of your appearance, and your book, Hello Friends, is out and available to Blue Jay baseball fans and all baseball fans. You know, Fred brought up the notion that after all the years that you've done your job, and you must have loved it, this is the second spring training in a row that you've missed. How does that feel?
Well, you're right. First of all, I did love my career. I had 36 wonderful years. Every game I enjoyed thoroughly, and it was just so much fun. And now that I've been retired for a year, I retired February 13th a year ago, so just over a year. And you're right, this is the second spring training I've missed. I really have no regrets at all. I've enjoyed what I did, and I'm the type of person that put me in an environment and a routine and discipline, and let me go with that. And then when that's over, then move on to another routine and discipline that's a little bit different. And so right now, I'm really enjoying kind of the afterglow of having spent 3 years to write the book and to edit it and take it to ECW Press, and they loved it right at the beginning. So that's been fun for me, and I play a lot of duplicate bridge, which I tell people is very much like a broadcast where you prepare, you do homework, and you have a three-hour game with a partner, the only difference being that in baseball, all I did was talk, and in bridge, nobody talks in the room.
Oh, so you don't do the play-by-play while you're playing bridge.
No, I try to look at my other partner's cards and make sure I follow his or her lead.
Have you detached yourself from the game on some level? Like, would any part of you think of going to Dunedin for spring training and just hanging out, or do you go
well,
to...
Well, what last year, and I kind of was reminded by my son, Joe, who lives here and was my best listener. He said, now, Dad, I know you, don't hermit, don't turtle. I don't want you to just kind of back away from the game. What I'd like to see you do is be engaged in it in some way or another. So what I did, this worked out perfectly, and I'll do it again this year. I went out to every first game of a series about 3:45. So I was on the field for batting practice from 3:45 until about 6:15.
Wow.
Not only did I manage, not only did I visit with the manager and the coaches and the players, but the other team's radio and TV broadcasters, whom I've known for over 35 years, they were concerned about me, the surgery I had a couple of years ago. And so that was a wonderful way to interact with everybody. So I was on the field about 30 times, and then I kidded people. I said, then I'd get in my car at 6 o'clock, drive home, and beat the traffic.
You know, that's one thing about a job you love, and we can identify with that. Part of retiring or pulling away or being fired or whatever is the camaraderie of the people you worked with.
Yes.
And so that's pretty good. That would be good therapy for you, wouldn't it, to be on
it
the
really
field?
Was. Yeah. And that's what I like, too, about my job. When I would go out to the game early, let's say around 2:30 for a 7 o'clock game, I would be down on the field. And with my trusty notebook, I would be gathering information just in conversation. And what I like to do, too, is, and I don't think a lot of people realize this down on the field, as I engage them in conversation, it wasn't about me. I was subtly interviewing them, bringing out interesting little thoughts and stories, and then I would take that to the radio booth for years and use that with the audience so that they could relate to a story or two about a person, his wife, his family, how he grew up, when he started playing baseball, whatever it happened to be. And now, fortunately, I've been able to go back in my mind those 36 years and take those stories and put them in a book, and that's what has made me very happy to do that.
Well, let's talk about the book. I just held it up to our... we're broadcasting not only as a radio show now, Jerry, as well as the podcast, but we also have a television broadcast where I just held up your book for our huge Twitch TV audience to see. It's Hello Friends, and it says Stories from My Life and Blue Jays Baseball. What are some of the, can you give us just a flavor of some of those stories? An amazing game you called. Obviously, the Joe Carter home run would have been in there, but some of the maybe less obvious stories.
Well, when I started to write the book, and this was after the 2015 season, Buck Martinez, my good friend, suggested, Jerry, write a book. You've done so much right here. Let people know about who you are and your career with the Blue Jays. So that first off season, I wrote 50,000 words, and the first 20,000 were just about me growing up, and that took me to 1982 and my first game with the Blue Jays to start my 36-year career. And then the last 80,000 words I pretty much put together the next year after the 2016 season, and that got to 100,000 words, and then I edited it after the 2017 season. So growing up, it was a lot of fun to be in the Bay Area in San Francisco and go to the University of Santa Clara, where I related some stories. And then to, after that, begin my trek through Tacoma, Washington, Salt Lake City, Utah, and then finally reach Toronto. But I think what is interesting is not only my little stories growing up and people saying, oh, I didn't know that about Jerry, but really the book tells stories about players that people are very familiar with, whether it's from Jose Bautista and Roy Halladay to Kevin Pillar and Lourdes Gurriel. It doesn't matter. Those are the stories I was able to bring out and thoroughly enjoyed that, talking about people and their little stories and behind-the-scenes things that worked out very well for them. And I was also able to talk a little bit about my partners, too, and on the air, Joe Siddle and Jack Morris, Alan Ashby, and I enjoyed that.
One thing that I was fascinated in the book was your tenacity. You know, Howard and I, we bring a lot of interns in over the years, and, you know, the ones that are willing to put the work in and do pretty much anything you ask of them end up building careers. And just reading your book, what you were willing to do to get behind a microphone or just be involved in the sports world was something else, willing pretty much to go anywhere and do anything.
Well, that was one of my mindsets. And before I go any further, too, for your audience as they listen here, really, when I talk about the best partner I ever had, it was the first 22 years with Tom Cheek. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I was able to relate some really good stories about Tom, not only as we worked together, but at the end of his life, and here we are, October 9th, 2005, Tom passed away from his malignant brain tumor. And, and in 2004 and 2005, I relate some stories about Tom that even as I wrote them, I was teary-eyed, and I've had people write and say and tell me, Jerry, I was crying too. So it was a wonderful time for me to highlight someone who was the voice of the Blue Jays all the way through his career, and I just happened to follow up the last 13 years from what Tom did. But overall, it's been a great ride. I've really thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was just one of those opportunities where let me just share that with other people. And now specifically, again, getting back to your question, what was it again?
Well,
make sure
you're saying that, you know, you were willing, like when Fred and I were starting out in radio, you know, we hung around radio stations. All we did was live, breathe, eat. I went to a bunch of different markets. Fred worked at a couple of different radio stations. It seems that younger broadcasters don't understand the tenacity of a guy like you, that you were willing to go and do anything to get into this business. You know, there's a story about you, you know, on a hill pretending to do play-by-play.
Well, recording it.
Recording it.
So you could listen and refine your craft.
And let me just say, Jerry, when I was a young disc jockey, I used to drive around in my car introducing records as I was driving around. I'm, you know, I'm sure you were doing play-by-play constantly.
Well, that's a good point. And there is a pic. There's 32 wonderful pictures that ECW Press put in the book, and one of them I discovered by accident, and I was at the University of Santa Clara raising money for them, and our PR director, Dick Degnan, he said, Jerry, here's a picture of Kevin Rooney, you know, running against Nevada, and I looked at it, and I saw myself on that folding chair up on the hill doing a mock game to try to learn to do some play-by-play. And I said, Dick, can I have that picture? And he said, yes, do you know Kevin Rooney? And I said, well, I know he's on the football team, but you see that little speck of person up there? That's me. And so that was kind of fun to put that in the book. But regarding tenacity, and what I tell young broadcasters is this, and I started later in my career. I didn't really get on the air until I was 27 years old, and I had no idea about being a broadcaster until a couple years before that. I always tell them, number one, get as much education as you can past high school. And there's so many wonderful schools here in the area, Ryerson, Durham College, Humber College for communications and
Seneca
journalism.
Seneca College as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's another one. And but then do it. Get on the air and do it and see how comfortable you are doing it. And I think that's the key. So for me, I taped games, football and basketball games at Santa Clara University when I was working as their fundraiser for 2 years. All I did was tape games before I ever went on the radio, and I would take those back to my apartment, listen to them, critique them, and say, oh, Jerry, these are not too good. Let's take it as a challenge to see if we can't make them better. And that's what I would encourage every young sportscaster or any person in any walk of life. Get out there, do what you want to do, see how it is, assess your own abilities, analyze those, and then that will take you where you want to go as you follow your heart.
It's funny how things work out, too. What was it, 1976? You're in Tacoma, Washington, doing AAA, and the American League announces two expansion teams, and you really wanted the Seattle job and weren't too interested in the Toronto job.
Well, that gets back to my narrow education in California. All I did was play sports all year round, and mm-hmm. in the Bay Area it was 70 degrees, so you could play sports and baseball all year round, but I had broadcast 5 years of AAA baseball, and two of those years were right outside Seattle in Tacoma, which would be like Hamilton to Toronto. And when the teams came into existence, I interviewed with Lou Gorman, the GM of the Mariners, for the job, and very politely on the phone, he just said, "Jerry, we've decided to go with these two broadcasters, and thanks for applying." And I was so crestfallen. Now, my wife, of 47 years, she's from Kalamazoo, Michigan, she said, "Why don't you should apply to that other team?" And I said, "I don't even know where Toronto is." So the funny thing is, I wrote it in the book. She said, "Go downstairs and get our atlas." So I got the atlas, and I went back alphabetically at the back of the book to QRSTTORONTO. I had no idea what the ONT stood for. And I looked on the map where it was, and then I looked on the other page and saw Salt Lake, and I closed it, and I said, "I'm not going there. That's too far away, and it's in another country." And here I am, now having lived more years of my life in Canada than the States, and I'm so happy that my wife pushed me to make that decision. It's the best thing that ever happened.
And it's a better country for it, Jerry Howard. Jerry's new book is called Hello Friends, My Life and Stories from Baseball.
You know, Jerry, you did more than just baseball. You did basketball, and this story really is for Howard because I think he'll be quite impressed to learn that you were a caddy in the 1966 U.S. Open.
What?
Yes.
Yes, I was.
Well, okay, whoa. Hang on a second. You caddied in the actual U.S. Open. Where was the U.S. Open in 1966?
Well, it was right there in San Francisco at the famous Olympic Club.
That's where Johnny Miller grew up.
What's that?
Johnny Miller grew up there.
Well, the interesting story is that not only did Johnny Miller grow up there, too, we were both in the caddy shack for that Open. I was 20 years old. Johnny was 19. And then the people at the Olympic Club said, "You know what, Johnny, this is your home course, and you're 19 years old. You're a great golfer. Why don't we put you in the Open instead of caddying it?" So he left the caddy shack, and he ended up fifth overall with Ben Hogan. And it was just a wonderful time for both of us to become very acquainted with a U.S. Open. Arnold Palmer had the lead, a 7-shot lead with 9 holes to play, and Billy Casper caught him. So it was one of the most famous Opens in golf history.
Well, I know that story that Palmer said. I'm not sure if Palmer was playing with Casper.
He was.
He mentioned something to Casper on the back nine that, finishing second will be good for you, and then Casper caught him. Who were you caddying for?
Well, I was caddying for a Connecticut pro named Mike Krak, K-R-A-K, and they have regional tournaments all around the U.S., and then the winners go to the U.S. Open. And at that time, you could not bring your own caddy. That's changed, of course, considerably over the years. So the caddies, we just ended up with whomever. And for me, it was Mike, and he was great. I really enjoyed him. He showed me a lot as I tried to show him to the course and walking it early in the morning and pin settings, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he did not make the cut. He just was a little bit too erratic with his drives, and in the U.S. Open, there's plenty of rough right outside the fairway. That allowed me the last two days to then follow any and all golfers, and that included this young golfer out of Ohio State named Jack Nicklaus.
Wow.
Ben Hogan was there, too, and it was just a great experience.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, just before Fred wraps this up. Did you got a chance to see Ben Hogan hit a golf ball, like standing next to him?
Yes, I did. I was
what was that
on the
like?
Practice range with him, and I always remember he went from the wedge to the driver and took 20 minutes to do it, and everything was drawn right down the middle of the fairway on the practice range, and he had his caddy out there who just would pick up the balls backing up 10 feet every swing, and it was unbelievable.
Wow.
Then rarely deviated 20 feet from right down the middle with every club in the bag.
Well, good for you. What an amazing guy. And those stories in the book, Hello Friends, Freddie?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Tom and Jerry, the voice of summer really in Toronto for all those years, and then Tom passes away, and then it's you. And they say in this business, you know, it's always tough to follow a legend, you know, somebody with heritage. And you're not doing the games anymore, but Ben Wagner and Mike Wilner, I'll tell you, they have big shoes to fill. And what are your thoughts on that? What would your advice to them be?
Well, I was very fortunate. First of all, working with Tom and together two play-by-play announcers, and we concentrated on the game. Then I was also very fortunate my last 13 years as the lead announcer working with former athletes, Warren Saucu and then Alan Ashby, Jack Morris, and Joe Siddle. And I would say to both Ben and Mike Wilner, enjoy the experience. I would be careful, too, since neither of you played the game, to watch where you go regarding how emphatic you are about what should or should not be done on the field.
Interesting.
And then just enjoy the experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to have you on our show, and maybe if you're wandering around the sketchy Queensway where we broadcast from, you're always welcome to drop in. And much success, happiness, and all the best with your new book, Hello Friends, My Life and Stories from Blue Jay Baseball.
Well, Howard and Fred, thanks for having me, and let me congratulate you on 30 years together.
Yes.
Even though there might have been a couple little years where you weren't together,
surely.
But nice job.
Thank you, sir. What a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank
Jerry
you.
Howard.
Thank you, Jerry.
Jerry. Here's how you know we respect that man. Here's how. Because he said the guy he caddied for in the U.S. Open was named something about his crack.
I know.
And we said nothing.
You let it go.
We let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Any mascots?
Can you find out how to block somebody on Twitch? Because I want no part of this dude.
Happening?
I want no part of that dude on our feed. Do you know who I'm talking about, Sean? Because we blocked him on Twitter and we've stopped answering his... He's the conspiracy guy. Can we just do that, please? Okay. Yeah. You know, did you ever want to do that? I've probably asked this before. I know you liked hockey as your number one sport, but you love baseball.
Yeah.
Did you ever?
Yeah.
You would have liked to do play-by-play hockey, maybe.
Yeah, I just never had the opportunity.
I think you'd have been great at it. To tell you the truth, I do. I think that you have the right voice.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right humor.
Yeah. It's too bad, actually. Not when I say too bad.
No, I know what you mean.
No, I got sucked into this market probably before I should have, when being in a smaller market probably would have allowed me to do those things. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what happens to, you know, a lot of, you know, if you're in Moose Jaw and you're the voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors, that's where you go and you get that experience. You you were in Toronto, so where you would have had to go to some place where there was a junior team.
Right.
But you'd have been good at it.
Well, even in Brampton at the AM station, you know, the Brampton Excelsiors, the lacrosse team were very popular. And I had asked them many times, could we do the play-by-play? But, of course, they couldn't sell it. So that's where it ended. But see, there's the difference. I could have been over at that rink with a tape machine, calling the play-by-play into a tape machine and listening to it and trying to get better at it. I didn't do those things.
You know, when he was talking about doing that, taping his sportscast and analyzing and seeing where he could... But, you know, the best... It's really a best practice that comics do. Like, the ones that I work with that are... You can sort of see that they have figured it out are the guys that tape every set. I don't as much. I mean, I do every once in a while, depending on the circumstance. But it's invaluable because you get to sort of confront... They say you should do it because you want to hear the good and the bad. I mean, I know a lot of us, it's like all you can hear is, you know, where you screwed up or something. But it really shows you there isn't any luck in getting to be good at something. There's just a lot of work.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, talent can start you.
It can, but
it's not going to take you all the way.
If you're not willing to do what he was willing to do or what we were willing to do earlier in our careers...
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you're talented. You've been around. Amanda, you're around a lot of talented people that are lazy, that just all they do is wank about how they're not getting any good luck. But the fact is you make your own.
Right.
Well, this week we got an email from, I think it was a young woman, said, hey, I'm looking for a job. Here's my resume. That was the email.
Oh, no. It said, here's my resume. You had to put in a code to the resume attachment.
Oh, that's a virus.
Was it?
Yeah, it's a virus on Windows computers. You should probably ignore that.
Oh, we did. We deleted it.
Oh, so she wasn't looking for a job.
No.
Because I was going to say, if that's your way of looking for a job.
But people do that. That is a thing that people do. So that's not without the realm of possibility.
Oh, that's preposterous.
It's ridiculous.
The problem is, too, people don't know how to start. And then you get told, you know, beat down all the doors, which isn't really, I think, the best advice. But having that kind of tenacity, you also have to have an arm's length about your craft in a way, whether it's that line of work or comic, you have to have an arm's length to be able to watch yourself, hear yourself, and critique yourself. Mm-hmm. If it's too precious to you, you almost don't want to do it, right?
Well, that's what it is. You have to confront the good and the bad. And when I listen, I mean, you've had the same experience, Freddie, when we listen back to the show or worse, watch back. You know, I've been doing this Midas letter. I've been on this online TV show this week. I've been hosting it.
Oh.
And when I look, when I see some of the video, all you can see are your, weird angles of your face. I know, it's horrible. But if you want it, what?
No, it's funny you say that. I watched a bit yesterday, and I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I wish I looked like that on camera. my features defined, a handsome guy.
You wish you looked like me?
Yeah.
Aww.
I catch a shot of myself in the But I catch a shot of myself in the monitor. I'm like, turn it off.
I can't stand it.
It's funny. I'm going in today because they have a monitor. Like my camera's right here, and there's a teleprompter, and just to the right of it is this big screen, and I can see myself.
Yeah.
And I find it disconcerting.
One of the things the Twitch thing is wonderful, but the only thing I don't like about it is sitting here looking at myself.
Yeah.
I really don't. I really don't.
Yeah. I wouldn't either.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a break. Lots of people
are.
So
can you block me out?
We just get like a screen.
An orange tile like the fire festival.
Nice picture of Stan.
Get a load of this. Who was it? Rick Cameron or whatever? An email. Remember I told the story yesterday about going to the high school reunion and the hot chick from many years before was standing beside me.
Yeah, that's right.
Cackling. And I said I turned and it was her, but she looked like my aunt. Yeah. And Rick Cameron gets back to me and says, funny story, but she probably thought you were her aunt.
Rick Cameron, for the win. All right, we'll get you ready for a Humble and Fred weekend. Phil Hong tomorrow and Saturday hosting the best of Humble and Fred. When we come back, a billionaire wanted to enlarge his penis. Mm. And things went horribly wrong. Oops. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Yes, they got all the questions, but I forgot to mention how I see the world around and look at me with you. Feel just like a schoolboy, you are my reflection, looking in the mirror. Just see your deception. They got all the reasons for all of their suggestions, but I forgot to mention how I know my soul, I know my heart, I know my weakness. That's why I got to start taking up new. Okie dokie, we're back. Barker's back from. Aloha. Polynesian, beautiful people.
It's insane.
It really is.
It's great. And even
Hawaii.
If poke is not your thing, there's other great food there.
I like poke.
I like poke.
I like poke. I like it. You heard about the $225 lobster. You were up to date on that.
I posted about it, but I didn't really get the full.
Well, go back and listen. It's quite
story.
We had dinner, the four of us, Fred and I, GFR, Delise. Mm-hmm. A week ago tonight, we saw Come From Away.
Oh, yeah. I did. And you loved it, right?
Oh, my gosh.
My good friend Kevin is in that. I got a lot of good friends in that.
What is Kevin playing?
Kevin's black. That's how you know who he is. Oh, he's actually black and Asian.
He plays the black guy.
He plays the black guy. Yeah, he's Filipino and black. He's a wonderful actor. He was in Little Black Dress, actually.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, Little Black Dress is getting some press. It's coming there. You actually have a. Well, I saw it again on Facebook.
Is this all on Facebook? Somebody messaged me. It's on tour. And I was like, where are you seeing this? I'm not seeing this.
Little Black Dress went. So the performances start soon, don't they?
June. Apparently. I better learn my stuff.
Well, how do you do that? When do you start rehearsing?
I don't know.
What's going on, Barker?
Listen, here's the deal.
Barker wrote a play. She has no idea what's going on.
Here's the deal. You know the story. It's the producers have changed hands many times. And so I don't have a contract. I don't have anything. So I don't really know.
You're a playwright. I sat there watching Come From Away, which we both liked, Howard and I, from beginning to end. So did our women.
Mm-hmm.
Women. It was funny. It was amusing. It
90
was,
minutes, no intermission.
It emotional. Was moving.
It's great. It's a great show.
And I'm just thinking, putting that together, like somebody somewhere decided, you know, that idea, I'm going to turn it into a stage play. And how, like,
I know those people that.
The work that would go into that.
Yeah, they did. Well, they had written.
To come up with 90 minutes.
They wrote a really fun, wonderful musical many years ago called My Mother's Lesbian Jewish Wiccan Wedding, which was based on their couple, Irene and Carl. And it was about Carl's mom. And it was a beautiful, lovely Lisa Horner, who's in Come From Away, who's best known as the start the car woman from the IKEA ads. She was in it. She played his mother, and it was a beautiful show. And I really loved that show because 10 years ago people weren't writing earnest musicals. And what I mean by that is, like, if you follow musicals at all, which I'm sure nobody does, but the Producers, for example, which is a great show, or, I don't know, Evil Dead, the musical, they all make fun of musicals within the musical, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whereas
being ironic.
Yes, ironic, exactly. And My Mother's Lesbian Jewish Wiccan Wedding didn't. It was actually it was funny, very similar to Come From Away, but also very earnest. And it kind of brought back an earnestness, which I really loved and connected to. So
yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because I hadn't been to a show in a while. I mean,
interesting or funny?
Fascinating.
Okay, fascinating.
It was
all right.
Mm-hmm. That's a good. We got to come up.
Interesting.
We really should come up with something other than interesting and funny because stupid.
Profound. It was very.
It was profound. What you just said.
No, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I don't remember.
I interrupted you.
No, interesting, you say that because
because. You know, I haven't been to a show in a while. You and I were going to go to a show, but then we bailed.
Yeah, we bailed.
But this one wasn't being ironic about musicals. Yeah. It wasn't like tongue-in-cheek or musicals are dumb. It was just this beautiful story set to music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Freddie and I have not fallen asleep in a show for some time. Mm-hmm. And both of us, it started at about 8:05, and it was just about 5 to 10. It was over. Both of us were still awake because there are no lulls in it.
No.
Plus, it's a fascinating story. I know it's set against 9/11, worst day in history, but the thing is, because of the worst day in recent history, the sweetness, the juxtaposition, if you will, of the sweetness of these people.
Yes.
He booked literally on the way home, he booked a trip to Newfoundland.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Not officially, but I'm going.
Are you going?
Next summer, I'm to go. Absolutely.
He's booked.
Well, I think I owe it to myself. As I said, we got our own little Ireland here. I'm going to Ireland in August, and we have our own little Ireland here.
Yeah?
You know?
Our Emerald Isle?
Sure.
But you know, it costs more to fly to Newfoundland than it does to Ireland.
I know. Newfoundland's great. It's, Newfoundland's fun. I was there for a wedding. It's fun. It's, you know, Come From Away does it justice, I think, to a large degree. I mean, those are all interviews, right, that they went and did with people.
And I'll tell you, whoever is responsible for their television commercials, even if they're not accurate, they're fabulous.
What, the Newfoundland Labrador commercials?
Yeah, they do a great job. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I'd like to see more.
How do you not watch those commercials and not want to go there?
Mm-hmm. Like,
no, I know.
I mean, they're not showing the black flies and the
look,
the gas, the cost of gas,
the kissing the fish.
Hanging around with us too long.
Well, no, I did talk to a guy from Newfoundland, and I said, oh, the colorful houses. He goes, well, you know, they're using good filters because they're pretty weather-beaten.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's talk a little bit about Green Genie SEO, if we can. If you're a business owner, you have a website, hey, if it's not on page one of Google, shut it down. Being on page one is like owning a piece of digital real estate. If we've learned nothing from these fine folks, it's that there are ways to get your ranking to increase up your ranking with Green Genie SEO. They do a great job. They'll give you a consultation. It's well worth the investment. Green Genie SEO. Get your website ranked higher on Google and increase your business, increase your revenue, and just increase your happiness. GreenGenieSEO.com.
And let me tell you about Strain Print.
Okay.
StrainPrint.ca. Go there and find out how you can use cannabis better with free Strain Print Companion app. It'll help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience with cannabis can be. Okay? The app can be easily downloaded for free on the Apple or Google Play Store. Very simple. The best part, for each session you track with the app, you get loyalty points called strain points. These points can be redeemed for super cool items such as t-shirts, hats and toques and much more. Strainprint.ca for all the information, or the app store to download the app.
You figure by age 65, you would assume by age 65, you might by that point be comfortable with who you are, with your body. You know, you've had 65 years of sort of getting used to being in your own skin. We're about to tell you a story of a 65-year-old billionaire who unfortunately has passed away, Amanda.
Oh, no.
Because he found his penis too small. Ooh. Tiny penis, you're the one.
He's a billionaire diamond trader, Ehud Er Laniod.
Now, try that again.
Ehud Er Laniod.
Okay.
This happened in Paris. He was in a clinic in Paris, 65 years old. Died of a heart attack on the table undergoing a penis enlargement procedure. I mean, here's a man that we would look and say, hey, he has everything. Apparently, in his mind, he did not. Apparently, he was not satisfied with the length of his penis or the diameter, apparently. Length and diameter were issues. So he had this procedure and dies on the table.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you bring up the age 65. It's really, what would take so long? Although, like, maybe this was an obsession for years. But finally, at 65, to actually undergo that treatment.
Yeah.
And a billionaire not to go to a clinic where, you know, you might not die.
Well, that was my question. Is it? Mm-hmm. Is this a... I mean, it was in Paris. Was it at a proper hospital, or was it...
No, it seems...
It was at an épicerie.
Boulangerie.
They said a private Paris hospital.
Exactly.
So probably one of those clinics.
Yeah.
Come on in. We'll make you. What we'll do is we'll take a little croissant and we'll take the stuffing from the croissant and we stick it in your penis.
I wonder what happened. What his life was like. Like all the people. Like the comments. The, you know. Did he go to a nude beach?
He had a $50 million penthouse in Monaco.
Aww.
He lived an exceptional life.
My old hometown.
Oh, Monaco, yeah.
I used to live in Monaco.
At some point, he said to the doctors, I would like a, he was Israeli, I would like a new penis. This penis I have now is like, it's tiny, it's a micro penis.
Oh, yeah, I'll faire your arrondissement.
Exactly.
Guys, I gotta tell you, some are small. Like, some are like...
Some are small.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Okay, wait a minute.
All right.
Like, some are small. Well,
what would small be?
Like, small.
No, but tell me.
Like, not even my thumb.
Really?
Yeah.
Flaccid or erect?
Diameter, too?
I mean, debatable.
Diameter, too?
Yeah, it was...
Flaccid?
There was one in my life where I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Flaccid or rigid or both? Small.
I mean, I was pretty drunk, but...
Hey, now. Come on. So what do you do in that situation?
You have a moment, you
it's Sean.
You have a moment.
Yes.
Hold me closer,
what's
tiny
happening?
Dancer.
Hold me closer.
You think, okay, and you think, wow, it must be hard to be you. Like, it must... That's your life. That's... You don't get to change that. You know, like, that's your...
Why are you pointing at Fred?
No, I'm pointing at the picture. Fred is the picture of the dude up. So, I don't know. I could see it.
That's a great... No, all my research shows that I'm average.
All your research?
And don't tell me you haven't done the research.
All your research?
What the average size is and circumference, and then, you know, checking her out. You know, seeing if you measure up. Don't tell me you haven't done that, because every guy has.
You know, as you age, the... Weird thing is your testicles, which we all have, mm-hmm. except for you, Amanda.
Yeah, I don't know.
You young guys don't understand. At 27 or 30, your testicles are still sort of tight to your body. But as you age, they want to, it's almost like they're ready to leap. They're ready to go. They're like, all right, we're done.
The toilet seat becomes an issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't want to squish them.
Oh, boy. I have noticed recently that they're always sticking to the side of my leg. And I'm like, what? Because they never used
to. Are you not wearing underwear?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, are they hanging out your underwear?
They're hanging out. Well, no, the inside the underwear, the part that's next to the leg, I've noticed that they I have to like peel them off sometimes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Boobs are like that.
You should try a good underwear that holds the package in the
front.
Well,
I know you wear those like a jock strap or a thong, man thong or something.
No, I don't.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
It'd be funny if you did.
Okay, for the sake of this bit, I wear a thong.
That's right.
Right now, it's up my ass.
A man thong. A man thong.
Your boys are being held together like the coalition of nutsacks.
We went to a nude beach in Hawaii, kind of by accident. But
wait, in Hawaii?
In Hawaii, yeah. And
so you're saying you're satisfied with Marco's
I am very,
cannoli?
But a nude beach is great because you really do some comparison shopping when you're there.
And did you see anything that was scary?
I mean, no. There's a lot of naked dudes. A lot of naked dudes. And there was one guy, we were out in the water. Mark was like, really? Like his legs were spread eagle.
Oh,
like,
he's like, stop it.
Not only is he naked, but he's like spread.
What was the ratio men to women on that nude beach?
Pretty equal.
Really?
Yeah. A few more men, but like 40, 60.
If you go to a nude beach, don't you go behind a rock and slap it around a bit just to give a better impression?
Yeah, you know, that's what everyone wants to see. You at a nude beach in the bushes, just slapping it around. Just getting it ready.
Come on,
buddy. We're about to take you out of your...
You're playing.
Out of your man thong, your ball thong.
You know what I mean? Because you've been a long drive.
You pull it a little bit just to get it, stretch it.
You've been in the car for a while and you're a little hot and it might be shrunk a bit. So you just slap it around.
I'm sure.
I could just
you
see
behind a lava
Toronto's
rock.
Newspaper.
Fred Patterson, longtime broadcaster, seen slapping around his wiener outside a new beach.
Watch my volcano.
Everyone else is just laying, enjoying the sun. There's a drum circle, and Fred's behind it.
Don't be ridiculous. You do this discreetly.
Right.
It's just
right.
When you come out from behind the rock, you look like you're bigger than you are.
That's funny. Mm. Yeah. We drove by this beach.
Freddie, thank you.
And we drove by this beach and we saw all the cars and I'm reading in the guidebook and I said, well, it says here you get tourists, drum circles. Mark was like, you lost me at drum circle. So we kept going. Yeah. We kept driving to this hot pond, which was like a hot lava pond. Not a spring, but like hot because of the lava. Swam in that, which was really cool. And this guy came in and he was like, there were whales, there were dolphins. It was amazing. I haven't seen that beach in 15 years like that. And then we drove back not realizing it was a nude beach.
To the drum circle beach.
To the drum circle nude beach, yeah.
I literally would rather see a bunch of guys like Fred slapping their wieners to get them bigger than to be part of a drum circle. I saw a drum circle. I was in Florida. I was at this little, not Vero Beach, whatever, one of these beaches. Yeah. Delray.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in Delray Beach. It's got this little cultural center.
Sure.
And Dan Duran and I were walking back to the car, and I said, oh, hang on a second. I think this is a drum circle we have to see. We have to watch these kids. They're all sitting around banging on a drum.
Drum circle.
I don't know.
Like,
it made me angry.
Now, this nude beach, besides you, were there any tens, women?
Besides me? Mm-hmm. I don't think I qualify. Yeah, there were a lot of women. Yeah, there were some good-looking women. Mm. Yeah. There was a lot of tattoos. A lot of tattoos.
Yeah. Tattoo. Yeah. I'm still going steady with Halle Berry's back tattoo from yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if you guys checked that out.
It was still
on my computer.
It?
Oh, my God. There I am hosting this financial... I'm going to be on this thing called the Midas Letter again today. But there I am hosting. I've got my computer in front of me, and I click on something, and it's Halle Berry's back.
It's a spine.
It's a spine.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Okay. All right.
Why do you have to put her down?
No, I wouldn't if I was her either. Personally, I don't like the idea of that tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
What I like is the idea of her figure.
She is gorgeous. That woman is a phenomenal goddess.
So you're on the nude beach.
Yeah.
Feel free.
Yeah.
Are you completely naked?
I went topless.
I was gonna
go full, but I was in the water already. Popped my top off, handed it to Marco, and I didn't feel like dealing with my bottoms.
Did Marco walk around with?
No, he didn't go nude.
All right.
I wouldn't either.
He didn't. It's different for guys.
I would go nude. I don't think I've ever... Have I ever been on... I would... If it was just like Rachel and I, private, I would take my clothes off.
A secluded beach.
Secluded.
I would have been happy if he did. I would have thought it would have been good for him, but no, he's too... I don't know. He doesn't have any need to.
I don't see what the point is. I mean, I got... It's fun. You got your shirt off, so you got some bathing trunks on. What's the, like, why take them off?
Yeah.
But those trunks are so big that you guys wear, unless you're German.
Yeah, I wear the, yeah, the German. I wear the sort of, what do they call, like, board shorts style bathing suit.
Yeah.
You know, those, whatever
they just feel like a lot of material to be in the water.
But when he and I were younger, when we were young men and little boys, we wore tiny bathing suits.
Yeah.
Because that was the style, you know? Those little.
Almost like underwear.
Almost like underwear.
Like tiny whiteies, but.
Exactly.
But yeah. Smugglers.
What are those called? Briefs?
But a bathing suit.
I guess.
They were briefs. And we just walked around thinking that was normal. We didn't know.
Little Speedos.
And then it changed and never changed back.
Yeah. Well, if you
except
go back,
for like,
you look like a...
gay men and Germans.
The problem with those little sort of underwear style, tidy whitey, whatever you want to call them, bathing suits, it's sometimes you'd be pointing.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could see that through there. And that very unsettling.
That's
way too revealing.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Maybe that's why the boxers came in and never left. Well,
with the net and everything.
I have two bathing costumes. One is dark board shorts and one is light board shorts. And in Turks and Caicos, Rachel said to me halfway through the vacation where I literally, for the first 3 days, wore the same pair of shorts in a row. I brought four pairs of shorts, but I wore the same ones. And she said, finally, are you going to change your shorts? And how about maybe we try this other bathing suit that I like? I said, oh, sure. So I go swimming in the white one and I come out of the pool and apparently it was see-through. Sort of see-through material.
Yeah.
And she said, you might want to check in with your fellas there, because they were apparently available for
view. Oh, that's so funny.
They were live streaming from my white shorts.
They were twitching.
They were twitching. Well, they were later that afternoon, I'll tell you.
They tweeted.
She had to tell you to change your shorts.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, that happened to me.
Well, why wouldn't you change your shorts?
I don't know. Why do you have to change your shorts?
Well, after 3 or 4 days, yeah, and but you brought four pairs.
But I wasn't wearing them all the time. We're just wearing them when we weren't in the pool, right? Yeah, I know.
I mean, as long as you change your underwear, that's
fine. Oh, I change my underwear every day.
I have the 2-day rule. I'll wear a pair of jeans 2 days, I'll wear a pair of shorts for 2 days, and then I change them up.
Yeah.
But change my underwear every day.
Every day.
I threw out my underwear. I left underwear in every part of Hawaii.
Why'd you throw it out?
I just brought old underwear that I was done with and threw them out. It was less to, and then in that room, because I just had a little tiny bag, and then I brought coffee back.
And where did you throw them out?
In the garbage.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. You're not probably supposed to do that, but I did.
So tomorrow, the Best of Humble and Fred, that'll be hosted by Phil Hong on Funny 820. You can also, do you put it up as a podcast?
Oh, absolutely.
Too?
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the show is going to be very fascinating. You're going to hear the whole story of the $225 lobster.
And Judith Owen, if you remember her, a wonderful artist who also the wife of, what's his face? One of the guys from The Simpsons, one of the voice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Spinal Tap.
She was married to Christopher Guest or the other one?
Oh, no, the other one.
Castanella?
Castanella.
Castanets.
No.
But she was a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yes.
So that's Friday and Saturday. What happens on Twitch? Georgetown Sean, the official producer of the Twitch TV broadcast, is there a best of, or do we just let the... You can go back and look at online videos and...
We'll probably post the short clips.
Oh, you're going to show and post some clips. Cool.
Yeah,
what do you want people to do? You want people to share and follow and let everyone know we're on Twitch TV now?
Yeah, please follow. We're live streaming. It's free for now. We haven't got to the subscription moment yet.
Well, it's coming. To be fair, it's always going to be free, but there's going to be a way next week that you're going to be able to get some discounts from Amazon Prime, as well as supporting The Humble and Fred Show, and we'll tell you how, hopefully Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
How great is this kid, Sean, though? I mean, he's been working hard on the... He's been working hard on the cameras. He attends all the online meetings. He's got lights set up now.
And we learn from him.
Yes. We do. Mm-hmm. We all do. You know, it's funny. I was going through...
Harry Shearer is the guy.
Yes.
Harry Shearer. There you go.
And thank you, Fat Suit, on Twitch.
I was prepping stuff for Jerry today, and I thought, oh, he's been on the show before. Let me find a bio, and then I'll just update it. And so I was looking through an old show schedule daily that I had done in like 2016, and there was a message, Anthony, I cannot find a Twitter for Jerry. Please tweet. Like I had to Anthony, who was one of our old interns, these interns through. Okay, no. Please tweet MLB. Please tweet at Blue Jays or whatever. And then with Sean, I don't even have to. It's just a given.
Sean's got it going on.
No, I know it's great.
And we learn about
the mountains in Chicago.
And icebergs.
Glaciers.
Are you, you're going to run that tomorrow on the Best Of as well, right?
Yes, it's part of our Best Of.
Sean told us a story today about a giant iceberg that's going to take out Chicago or something.
Yeah, it's on the peaks of Mount Chicago.
As I mentioned, Niagara Falls, in your town Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Yuck Yucks. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. One show tonight.
You're going to kill, I can kill it.
And, oh, yeah, they love their Hebrews in Niagara Falls. Boy, yes, they do. Yeah. And Midas Letter at 3 o'clock. Jerry Howard's book available. We have about a minute before we're going to be done here. I'm looking forward to hanging out with my little Charlie all weekend
Mm. Other than working.
I'm going to see her, after today, I'm not going to see her till Sunday. She's going to be hanging out with her mom and her sister and her boyfriend.
You're going to do some brunch? You're going to brunch?
Some brunching? Brunching? Yeah. Brunch?
Yeah.
What about you?
Let me think. What's today? Thursday?
Yeah.
I'm going to be up at 2 a.m. Sunday morning putting the clock ahead. That's what I mean.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you know what you should do? Yeah. You should live stream it.
Yeah.
Live stream it.
No, I'm...
No. I'm going to get to the tube. I'm going to just slap it around a little bit.
On the rock.
Yeah, that's what I got going.
Well, good on you.
No.
Listen, you know what? You need to rest.
No, really. I'm... No. The highlight of my weekend, I think Saturday night, we have the two grandchildren, and that will be fabulous.
Fantastic. Phil?
Mm-hmm. Great. This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, the Retirement Sherpa, Geek Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, the official band of Humble and Fred Play for the Cat, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, and our new sponsor, Green Genie SEO. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. Best of Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
Loving you.